You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That was large. Welcome in to a very happy post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily and post-game commentary on your Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official flagship. Today's show is brought to you courtesy of our friends and sponsors over at MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.ag, and when you place your initial deposit, use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and you will score an instant 50% bonus off of that first deposit. That's just for going to MyBookie.ag and using the LOCKEDONNBA promo code. Wow, what a fun night it was to the Rockets at AT&T Center in San Antonio. Last postseason, it was a bit of a house of horrors for the Rockets. Two games in Game 2 of the second-round series and Game 5 that were there for the taking, especially Game 5. Rockets could not get it done. Tonight, it's the regular season, but some games are bigger than others. This one certainly was for the Rockets. They grinded out a win 102-91 that they controlled throughout. Got slightly hairy in the fourth quarter because the Spurs will never go away, but credit the Rockets. First Chris Paul and then James Harden each had the maturity in key spots. Spurs cut it to 6 the first time, 7 the second, and each time Chris Paul responded with 6, then James Harden with 7. That's what veteran stars do, and they stepped up in this case when the Rockets needed it most. And say what you will about the Spurs without Kawhi Leonard. Certainly, as Greg Popovich says, they are an offensively challenged team. They don't have that many creators. But going into tonight, 34-19, actually only two games back of the Rockets in the win column entering tonight. Now, the Rockets were ahead by quite a bit, and they're up even more in terms of the overall standings because the Rockets played fewer games. Rockets entered 36-13, Spurs 34-19. Now the Rockets, of course, 37-13 through the first 50 games. Spurs fall to 34-20, which puts five games of separation overall and seven in the all-important loss column. But folks, the Spurs entering this game, 34 wins. That's third most in the Western Conference to only the Warriors and the Rockets. Actually, it's fourth most in the NBA. Only Boston in the East has more with 37. And above all that, they entered tonight at 22-4, the league's best home record. And say what you will about their limitations offensively, they are very real. But when you are that disciplined and you are that well coached and you are playing at home and from an energetic crowd, which they certainly were tonight for the I-10 rivalry, they are a tough team for anyone to play. As evidenced by that record, the Rockets, they got off to a good start again, won the first quarter 27-14. It felt like they were in control throughout because largely they were, but the Spurs are so disciplined, they keep coming, and a lesser team, and plenty of other lesser teams, have folded under those circumstances. The Spurs have gotten so many wins this year that they probably did not deserve from a talent perspective just based on their overall maturity, discipline, whatever you want to call it. Tonight, it didn't happen because Chris Paul and James Harden in the fourth quarter, and there are a lot of reasons. The Rockets had a very good defensive performance. Let's give them credit. Clint Capela certainly had a very large role in that as well. 14 points, 13 rebounds, 5 blocks in his 35 minutes. It was a grown man's game for Clint. But Chris and James in the fourth quarter, again, Chris was 6 in a row when the Spurs cut it to 6 early in the period. And then James with 7 in a row, the second game in a row that James has effectively sealed it with a 4-point play. Can't ever say I've seen that happen before, after the Spurs had cut it to 7 with just over a couple of minutes to go. Those are the types of veteran, mature team plays, I should say, that I don't think the Rockets make with that team they had a year ago. That's what elite squads do. And the Rockets tonight, they proved they had another dimension beyond just the overall character, which I thought showed through late. Tactically, the mid-range game for Chris Paul wasn't a banner game for him, 5 of 14 shooting, but 10 points, again, of his 10 points, 6 came in a critical stretch in the fourth quarter. Was Chris 100% coming back from missing one game with right groin soreness? No, I don't think so. There might have also been a little bit of rust, too, after not playing since Sunday. They'd only played 27 minutes then. But at the same time, they knew that Eric Gordon, with a back injury that just happened on Tuesday, they knew he wasn't going to be able to go. The Rockets needed Chris Paul to just eat minutes, if nothing else, and Chris did give them 30. And then for the Rockets, this was not any game. This was a bigger game. As we mentioned, that building last postseason was where it got away from the Rockets. I think casual fans focus on Game 6 because the shock value of seeing the Rockets lose by 40 points in an elimination game, that's a big deal. But in terms of where that series actually swung, there were two moments that the Rockets had that they could have put a hammerlock on that series. Maybe hammerlock is too strong of a word. Let's just say they could have taken control. Game two, I know they ended up losing by 20 or 25, but folks, it was a three-point game late in the third quarter. It was there for the taking. You go up 2-0 coming back to Houston, it was there. The Rockets didn't get the win. Game five, we all know what happened then. Harden had a triple-double, but the offense ground to a halt late in the game. They were up six with under 3 minutes to go. Kawhi Leonard was gimpy, and yet the offense, for whatever reason, never got going. It seemed like late in that game, every possession didn't start until 4 or 5 seconds left on the shot clock, and the Rockets let one slip away that would have put them up 3-2 going back to Houston. And what I think happened in Game 6 was less X's and O's execution, or lack thereof, for the Rockets, and more just a matter of mental and physical fatigue from having so many chances in San Antonio to take that series and yet not being able to do so. So that building, I think it was big for the Rockets to get a win there. Yes, they beat the Spurs in December by a large margin. That was with Kawhi. But to do it in that building, where not just for the Rockets, for the entire league, the Spurs were 22-4, the best home record in the league entering tonight. Folks, some games are bigger than others. And in my opinion, that's what this one was for the Rockets. That's why Chris Paul came back, even though he wasn't 100%. Now, I don't want to say all of it was injury-related. It could be just that he missed some shots. That happens from time to time. But between Eric Gordon being out and there being a bit of a minutes crunch if both of them don't play the way it was on Tuesday night against the Magic, and also the significance of the game, in my opinion, Chris Paul wanted to be out there. And while, for whatever reason, injury, rust, just a random off night, he wasn't there throughout the game. He stepped up when the Rockets absolutely needed it most, with 6 points after the Spurs had cut it to six with plenty of time left, almost 10 minutes, and that made it comfortable for most of the fourth quarter. And the one time the Spurs got back in it again to seven with just under 2.5 minutes left, again, Harden with a three, and then a four-point play on the next possession to push it back to 14. That's what your stars do. Certainly for the game, James Harden was there, 28 points, 11 assists, 10 of 20 shooting, 5 of 12 from behind the arc. He set the tone from the outset. That's why the Rockets outscored the Spurs 27-14 in the first quarter. They were up 54-38 at the half, and so they were playing from in front. All of that stuff is great, I thought, by and large, other than the third quarter with the Rockets. It almost came too easy for them. The Spurs made an adjustment, taking Pau Gasol out of the lineup and playing small ball, and between the big lead, between the adjustment, the Rockets were caught a little off guard, maybe a little lethargic in the third quarter because of that advantage, gave up 32 points. But other than that, folks, the Rockets gave up 14 points in the first quarter, 24 in the second, 21 in the fourth, and for the game, the Spurs scored just 91 points in their own gym. The Spurs, as Greg Popovich says, they're an offensively challenged team, but folks, they still averaged 101 points per game entering tonight, and the Rockets held them in their own gym to 91. That's a massive performance. There are a lot of reasons for that. We mentioned Clint Capela. We'll talk about him more as the program goes. But I think, in general, it all comes from the positive tone set by James Harden and Chris Paul. Chris Paul set it by going out there in the first place. James Harden started well. And in the fourth quarter, both of those guys had stretches where they just took over the game. And the Spurs, especially without Kawhi Leonard, just could not match it. And the Rockets, again, with the win, 102-91, improved to 37-13 on the year. Now 5 games in front of the Spurs for the second seed in the Western Conference, but 7 games in front in the all-important loss column. And above all else, the Rockets finally got a statement win in AT&T Center. So this was a big, big night for the Rockets. A lot of storylines to break down over the next few minutes of this program, and we'll get to all of them, but I want to start with James Harden and Chris Paul, because this was a banner night for the Rockets stars. Even if Chris was a little limited, both of those guys came through when the Rockets really needed them, and they were able to get the Rockets a big road win that I think has them feeling really, really positive. Rockets, as we mentioned, now 37-13 in the year, and have won 7 of 8 since the return of James Harden from that grade 2 hamstring strain. Now, we'll get back to all the other storylines in a few moments, but for now, I do want to pause and acknowledge our awesome sponsors over at MyBookie, because without the support of sponsors like them, we would not be able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do, the only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. And folks, if you listen to us or any show across this Lockdown Podcast Network, you probably know that there's a big game on Sunday, and I'm not talking about basketball, although the Rockets have a big game themselves on Saturday night against the Cavaliers, which we'll have you covered for. But yeah, there's a certain event on Sunday that you may have heard of, especially if you listen to our NFL shows, such as Locked In Texans. And folks, if you want to cash in big and make some money off of that, folks, my fine friends over at mybookie.ag. That's where you should go to do that. Because if you have not checked them out, folks, this is the perfect weekend to get in on the action, the game Sunday, and then certainly Rockets Cavaliers on Saturday evening, the ABC primetime game. That's a good opportunity as well. But if you've got a hunch on who's going to win the coin toss in Sunday's game, or what color Gatorade the coach is going to be wearing after the game, or what color Gatorade he should get dumped on him, I should say, then log in now, check out the props, and get in on the action. Because, folks, it's one thing to watch the game, but it's another thing to actually make some money and be a part of it. So join me and thousands of other online players and start betting over at mybookie.ag. They're the industry-leading online sportsbook, and that's because their players enjoy some of the fastest payouts in the business when they win. I would only recommend a service that's been good to me and our listeners, and that's why I urge you to go on over to MyBookie today, because you win, and they pay without any hassle. Folks, you're wasting your time betting anywhere else, because the fine folks over at MyBookie.ag, they've got you covered. Of course, they've got your traditional bets, but they've even got in-game live betting so that you can place bets after kickoff on Sunday. The real perk of this, of course, as my listeners here at Locked On Rockets, you guys can join now and score some free cash immediately to place your Super Bowl wager on the house. Sign up today, you get an instant 50% bonus on your first deposit. You join with $100, you'll get $150 in bankroll to play with just by using that Locked On NBA promo code. Excuse me. So used to saying LO Rockets because that's our draft promo, but Locked On NBA, that's the promo for mybookie.ag. And folks, as far as the 50% bonus, they will give that to you all the way up to $1,000 to every new player. So if you want to try them out, all the way up to $1,000, you can get that 50% bonus just by using that Locked On NBA promo code to activate the offer. So remember, folks, play, win, and you get paid. It's that simple, all over at our friends at mybookie.ag, sponsors of today's show. So jumping back into the program, let off by talking about the general, I would say, veteran plays, the statement nature of this win. Certainly Chris Paul limited 5 of 14, 10 points, but he had a key stretch in the fourth quarter. James Harden, 28 and 11, but it felt like the 7 points he had at the end of the game and then the start he had in the first quarter when the Rockets got off to a 27-14 lead and led the way, felt like those were the two swing points in which the Rockets, again, played from in front, which is big on the road, and then were able to make the plays late, even when the Spurs were pushing them. But when you get a win in San Antonio and hold a team like the Spurs to 91 points, there's a lot that went right for you besides just a couple of stars and just a couple of key stretches. The Rockets were very good overall in this game. They took it seriously. And defensively, folks, you have to start with Clint Capela. As we mentioned, in his 35 minutes, 13 points, 5 blocks, and let's salute him for giving the kind of game against a big-time opponent that a year ago, I'm not sure is there. 13 rebounds, 5 blocks, 35 minutes. I'm saying those numbers again because every question you have of him, his defensive impact, is he elite enough shot blocker? Does he have the stamina? He answered those and then some tonight. Also, in addition to Clint Capela, let's discuss Ryan Anderson, the return of Road Ryan. In his 28 minutes, Ryan had a plus 17, which after Harden's plus 18 was second best on the team. But Ryan, 13 points on 4 of 6 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3. So he's been shooting it well of late. More importantly, he's giving you a more consistent level of effort. It is the first time since November that he has had 3 consecutive games in the double-figure column scoring. And that's big because with the wave of injuries they have, without Trevor Ariza, also without Eric Gordon, you don't have the option that if Ryan doesn't show up, well, you can play smaller and then just insert Gerald Green into some of those minutes that would have gone to Ryan. No, you need Ryan to step up on a more regular basis. He is doing that now. And what I love seeing in this game, I put a video on my Twitter over at Ben Dubose, I love seeing how happy the Rockets, led by James Harden, were to see him get going. Because certainly to get where they want to go, if you want to chase down the Warriors, most talented team in NBA history, in my opinion, your margin of error is almost nothing. So you cannot have an empty roster spot. So to see Ryan get going on the road against a good team, and it also played into the defense, because what ended up happening in this game, the Spurs could not play their traditional sets the way they could a year ago way too frequently in the playoffs. If there's one thing you remember from that playoff series a year ago, you would have thought, with Ryan Anderson as a stretch four and the Rockets' pace and space under Mike D'Antoni, that this would not be a setting in which the Spurs could get by with a Twin Towers lineup of LaMarcus Aldridge and Pau Gasol. Except they were able to for far too long in that series. Part of it, Ryan was not making his shots, so the dynamic of him as a stretch four was not taking advantage as he should have. Some of it, the offense got a little predictable. That's where Chris Paul comes into play. What Chris Paul gives you in his mid-range games, and just his willingness to take those mid-range shots. Chris Paul, we mentioned 14 shots, well, only three of them were behind the arc. Chris shot 11 times inside the arc, and even if he missed a lot of those, just his willingness to take that did things to the Spurs defense, the way they defend the pick and roll against James Harden, that were not there a year ago when the Rockets were not willing to take that shot at all. But the combination of that, Ryan Anderson making his shots, how active he was in terms of his energy, the Spurs were not able to play LaMarcus Aldridge and Pau Gasol. In fact, Pau only played 20 minutes tonight, and he got benched at the start of the second half because Pop realized that that dual big lineup just was not working. And then when that happened, when the Spurs went ultra small, that's made it all the easier for Clint Capela to control the glass. Of his 13 rebounds, 11 came on the defensive end. So by the Rockets scoring 27 points in both of the first two quarters, 54 in the first half, and this is all against the Spurs team that allows just 97 a game, by the Rockets getting going offensively in the early going, then that forced the Spurs to adjust their game plan to the Rockets' style. And then when the Spurs did that, that's what allowed Clint Capela, as the only true center on the floor, and LaMarcus being or either LaMarcus or Powell, just one of those, the only big on the floor for the other side, Clint was able to feast in the second half. So even if the Spurs made some adjustments that made it easier to kind of keep a man in front of the Rockets in the second half, at the same time, because the Rockets were able to dictate the style of play early, that's what allowed Clint Capela to be such a beast in the second half. So this was the epitome of a team win. Certainly Clint stepped up in a big spot, but his teammates also enabled that by executing early on the offensive end in a way that they were not able to a year ago in this identical setting. Again, when you look at what the Rockets do offensively, you would think that they are a nightmare matchup if you want to start Pau Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge, two very traditional bigs on the front line. You would have thought that last year too, but it didn't work out that way. Tonight, it did. Kudos to the Rockets for getting at that offensively. That's also ended up making it easier for Clint to be a difference maker on the defensive end. As we said, the Rockets held the Spurs, other than the third quarter when the Spurs scored 32, the Rockets were dynamic on defense in this game. Clint was an enormous reason why. But above all else, I would say the Rockets dictated the style of play much more than they did a year ago. And that takes a team-wide contribution. Ryan got going earlier. That's great to see. Also, hashtag Road Ryan. That's a reflection of how he used to play back last season when it seemed like he had these games on the road with regularity. That helped. Certainly Chris Paul, even if he wasn't making his shots, just his willingness to take them, that meant a lot. And of course, James Harden, we take it for granted, but coming off the NBA's first ever 60-point triple-double, then just two nights later, you'd think he'd be fatigued. Nope. 37 minutes on the road against one of his biggest nemesis in terms of the Spurs, because we all know what people think of in terms of Harden and the Spurs after this past year's playoff series. Well, James played 37 minutes, 28-11, and did so on 10 of 20, 50% shooting from the field, 5 of 12 from behind the arc, and had 11 assists to just 2 turnovers. That's another thing. The Rockets, single-digit turnovers in this game, only 9 compared to 16 on the road. In general, the Rockets, they dictated the style of play. They took care of the ball. They played well defensively with the lone exception of the third quarter. And even with that off third quarter for the game, they still held the Spurs to just 91 points. In short, the Rockets were the more disciplined team in this game, and they beat the Spurs in terms of dictating the style. The Rockets had the key moments. And in short, the Rockets had what I would say in the past was a Spursian win. In essence, yes, the Spurs were still themselves. They were able to kind of grind, and in situations where a lot of teams would have just gone down 20 and mailed it in, the Spurs refused to. But in terms of discipline, not making mistakes, owning the key moments, attention to detail, folks, it was the Rockets that did that tonight and not the Spurs. And that's a team-wide effort, certainly Chris Paul and James Harden. But I would say up and down the roster, Ryan Anderson and Clint Capela leading the way, they certainly deserve their due as well. Final segment of the program, let's talk about the standings. Let's contextualize. As we said, the Rockets, with tonight's win, 37-13 on the year, Spurs fall to 34-20. look, let's call it. I know there are 32 games left. The Rockets are not going to fall below the number two seed. There's 7 games of separation in the loss column between the Rockets and the Spurs. The Rockets also will not lose the season series because they're now 2-0 against the Spurs this year. There's 8 games or more separation, 8 on the Thunder, 9 on the Timberwolves and Blazers. Look, the Rockets are going to be the number two and an outside shot of the number one seed. So if the Rockets have anything to play for from a standing standpoint, you're not looking at those teams behind you anymore, barring some sort of catastrophic, insane injury. And even then, I would say, unless it takes out both stars, the Rockets are, at this point, so legitimate in their numbers, even with Chris Paul and James Harden on the sideline, saw that their net rating in January was second best in the NBA to only the Thunder, and that was with James Harden having missed 7 games and Chris Paul missing a game in there as well. So the Rockets, at this point, they're a top two team. That's pretty much locked in. The amazing thing, as we said on the end of last Tuesday's postgame show, the Warriors, with their loss to the Jazz, are only 2 games up on the Rockets, and the Rockets own the tiebreaker. So this is a very real race, surprisingly, with 30 games left. That's a big deal. The Rockets, if they want to catch the Warriors, they cannot afford to let games slip. This was a game, again, it was a statement game, with the Rockets throwing a more talented team than the Spurs. And if there's one thing about the Rockets moving forward, you've got games, I would say even Saturday, where I don't want to say that Cleveland's more talented than them, but certainly if the Cleveland Cavaliers play their A game with LeBron James, with Isaiah Thomas, with Dwayne Wade, go up and down the roster, although without Kevin Love, they're certainly limited now. I know what's happened with Cleveland this year, but you can understand how if the Cavs bring it on a Saturday night ABC nationally televised game, unlikely as it may be based on their recent play, it's an understandable loss, and you're going to have those from time to time. So that puts a real premium, not saying I expect the Rockets to lose that game, just saying it's not an unfathomable scenario where they do, that if you want to battle with the Warriors, you have got to essentially put a premium on games in which you know that you are the more talented team. And the Spurs, despite their discipline, despite everything else, without Kawhi Leonard, the Rockets are a better basketball team, and not only did they win this game, they led it from the outset, which is encouraging that the Rockets took it seriously. The intensity was there, holding them just 91 points. And that's what you want to do if you want to catch the Warriors. And now, 50 games into the 82-game season, that's very realistic. I won't say it's probable, but it's realistic at this point, absolutely, especially knowing that you have the tiebreaker. The other thing to watch, and again, it is so tightly bunched from 3 all the way to 7. At 3, the Spurs have 20 losses. And at 7, the Pelicans have 23. I know the Pelicans lost Boogie Cousins, but boy, have they regrouped in a big way, trading for Mirotic, and it looks like they're going to pick up Greg Monroe as well. And then you look at the Blazers, the Timberwolves, and especially the Thunder. I mentioned the Rockets have the second best rating in the league in January. It's the Thunder that have had the best rating in January, have won 8 of their last 10 games. And to me, that's another thing to watch. Can you get the Thunder on the other side of the bracket from the Rockets? Right now they are, but again, it's so close, 3 through 7, that there's going to be games down the stretch of this year, even if the Rockets can't necessarily move themselves up or down that much in the standings. At the same time, how the bracket sets up, if it stays the way it is right now, and the Thunder are in the 5 spot, the Warriors in the 1, well, all of a sudden, the Warriors draw them in the second round. And while I don't necessarily expect the Thunder to beat the Warriors or the Rockets in the second round, they're the team that I've said before has by far the biggest potential to cause problems, to grind you, to make you work your butt off for 6 or 7 grueling games and potentially take a little bit out of what you have in the Western Conference Finals, the same way, to use an example involving the Thunder, although the Kevin Durant-led Thunder from a couple of years ago, even though the Warriors were able to beat the Thunder in 7 games, rallying from down 3-1, at the same time, the energy it took to do that ultimately, in my opinion, caught up with them in the NBA Finals when they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So there's a lot to look forward to. Certainly the Rockets, again, only 2 games back with a tiebreaker, you can catch the Warriors, but also you look at the teams below you, and that includes the Spurs, the Timberwolves, the Thunder, the Blazers, even the Pelicans. I'm still a little sketchy on the Pelicans after losing Boogie, but certainly they've rebounded nicely. There's going to be a lot to look forward to down the stretch of this year to see exactly how that bracket breaks down, because in my opinion, if you're a Rockets fan, the single biggest thing that you can get going for you is put the Thunder on the opposite side of the bracket with Golden State, as opposed to potentially slotting with you in the second round. It's not so much that I think the Rockets can't beat them, it's just that they would require a whole lot of energy and a very grinding series in a way that, especially after tonight, I don't think the Spurs or Minnesota, after watching that game in January, would be nearly as taxing. Other thing to watch in the days ahead, reinforcements. This is less related to tonight, but there's a lot of stuff going on in the NBA these days. Certainly the trade deadline is a week from today. We'll see if the Rockets are able to do anything, although I think they're quite happy with their team right now. When you're 37-13 and have just this one of the best or second best net rating in the league, positive point differential of almost at 8 points, then yeah, it's not like the Rockets are looking for major moves unless something enormous drops in their laps, and it's hard to see that, especially with the Rockets knowing that they don't want to make any major moves to jeopardize their position at having a respective offer trade-wise to go after LeBron James this summer, as we've discussed ad nauseum for months here on this show, and as it's discussed every day on NBA Twitter and all the talk shows. But short-term, there are going to be some options. We know Andrew Bogut's out there already. He potentially is an upgrade to your third center spot over Tarik Black, more of a defensive presence. Also, Jameer Nelson, it looked like today, he was a throw-in in that trade from New Orleans to Chicago that sent Mirotić to the Pelicans. Now, for now, it says the Bulls are keeping Nelson. I'm not convinced of that because the Bulls are a bad team. What you're going to see a lot over the next week are situations in which bad teams act like they're going to keep these veteran players, because who wants... You would always rather trade someone and get some value than eventually cut them and let them go for nothing. And if you say that, oh, we're open to a buyout, then most teams aren't going to be willing to trade significant value because they think, well, we can just go after them when they're released or bought out. So there's a lot of poker face that goes on with this. Jameer Nelson, a point guard the Rockets went after in October this year, ultimately chose to go to the Pelicans in favor of more playing time. If he gets free again, could it be different this time around? Yes, absolutely, because... You have players, if you get cut loose in October or November, you're going to want to be playing for your next contract to prove that you can still play in this league. You may not go to a Rockets team where, barring injuries, you're not guaranteed regular minutes. On the flip side, with nearly two-thirds of the season already gone, you might see some of these guys much more willing to sit at the end of the bench and only play sparingly if it gets them in high-leverage playoff situations, at the very least an opportunity to play, depending on injuries, foul trouble, that kind of thing. Bottom line is you see buyout candidates go to contenders this time of year, even if they're not going to play. There's a precedent for that because it's late enough in the year. They've probably already shown their value one way or another. And so they just want a shot to see if they can play into May and June and maybe squeeze out a ring. Whereas October or November, there's a different emphasis because there's so much of the season left. So if Jameer Nelson or someone else gets let go, I do think the Rockets are in a better spot. Certainly it's a very desirable team. They do have a roster spot open. Also, they could have more than one roster spot open. Again, while there's only one now, at the same time, I don't think that anyone sees guys like Troy Williams or Tarik Black as long-term placeholders in Houston. If the Rockets see someone that gets bought out that they think could upgrade one of those spots, yes, they could move one of those guys at the deadline and clear a roster spot very easily if they see someone. So in terms of what I expect in the week ahead, I don't expect the Rockets to be aggressive now. I think they could have interest in Bogut, but there's no reason to go after Bogut now if you never know. What if a better veteran, we've heard CyberX and the Clutch Fans Forum mention the possibility of Brooke Lopez. I've seen some on Twitter, although I personally don't see it, mentioning the possibility of Tyson Chandler from the Suns. But the point is, what if a better veteran gets bought out at a later date? Why would you lock yourself in by making a move now? And for that matter, it's not just the Rockets. You're seeing very little movement around the league, except for Greg Monroe, who is an exception to the rule because he's so young. Also, that's the kind of candidate, if someone is that young, they might not choose the Rockets, because when the Rockets are healthy, they are 9 deep. There's not going to be a guaranteed path to minutes. You could even argue that they're 10 deep, which Gerald Green. So there's not an obvious path to minutes. And for a younger player trying to reestablish value, it might not be a fit. But for someone like Jameer Nelson, if he gets cut free, Andrew Bogut, who is cut free, or any other veterans who get let go over the next week, are the Rockets a viable destination? Yes, absolutely, because at that stage of their career, and with two-thirds of the season gone, I don't think those are candidates that are looking to position themselves for their next contract. They are looking for a shot to maybe piggyback to a ring, and the Rockets are one of two, maybe three, about one of the only situations in the league where you can actually see a route to that happening. So, again, there's still a long way to go, but we're starting to see some action. We mentioned the Pelicans-Bulls trade earlier today. Possibility of movement in Chicago with Tony Allen, Jameer Nelson, and that stuff is going to happen all across the league over the next week. Last night, or I believe it was Tuesday night, we heard about the buyout with Greg Monroe, although it seems like he'll probably go to New Orleans, a chance for more immediate playing time. That's understandable because he's younger. Again, he wants to position himself for his next contract. But over the next week, watch what happens, because when you see these teams like the Bulls end up with veterans The odds are, and the buyout period is going to be longer this year because the trade deadline earlier, February 8th, that gives you 3 weeks until the beginning of March when you have to have players on your roster to be eligible for the playoffs. There's going to be time for these negotiations to be held, especially over All-Star Week. It's just something to monitor. I don't necessarily expect the Rockets to be super active at the trade deadline, barring something falling into their laps, or maybe they see something for Ryan that makes it much easier from a cap situation this summer if you can get more desirable contracts. Although, I don't know, maybe you could argue that Ryan's proving his case to the Rockets with a game like tonight in San Antonio, or some argue on Twitter, maybe you're making it more tradable to other teams around the league. Lots of ways you can look at it, glass half full, glass half empty. But the bottom line is, even if the Rockets don't make a big trade themselves, there's a lot to look forward to over the next week. The Rockets don't have any glaring needs, but certainly a fourth guard. If Chris Paul or Eric Gordon has a nagging injury, such as Eric Gordon with the back now, I expect him to be back on Saturday. That's my guess. But if there's any minor injury, we've seen Chris with the groin, Eric with the back, then having a fourth guard you could trust, that would be nice. Also, a third center who maybe is a little better defensively than Nene is, certainly better defensively than Tarik Black, that could be an upgrade spot as well. Not essential, but again, when you're trying to compete with the Warriors, you have to take any break where you can get it. Any slight improvement, even if they're not a regular part of the rotation. I don't know who it's going to be now. Like I said, the biggest name at the moment is Andrew Bogut, according to Kelly Eco, who we've had as a guest host here before. Very respected Rockets supporter. The Rockets do have some level of interest in Bogut, but I think it depends on what the rest of the market is, how that shakes out, as opposed to whether the Rockets would go from interest to actually seeing him as worthy of their roster spot. You're going to have to wait and see. But today's news, the Jameer Nelson, Tony Allen getting moved in the Miritich deal from New Orleans to Chicago, that's the kind of thing to watch over the next week. Veterans going to awkward situations, or maybe veterans not moving out of awkward situations. Keep your eyes peeled, because the Rockets, being this good, 37-13, and with a big statement win, national TV against San Antonio, possibility for another win Saturday night against Cleveland, yeah, you better believe that the Rockets are capturing some eyes around the league, and that starts with some of the league's more respected veterans. So on that positive note, we will wrap things right there. As always, thanks to you guys, my loyal listeners, for tuning in. If you want more regular analysis, the best place to do that is Twitter. I'm at Ben Dubose. The show is at Locked In Rockets. Also, feel free to reach out to us in other forums as well. Facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, LockedOnRockets.com, where you can leave comments. I mentioned the show Twitter is at LockedOnRockets, but also email us, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, or inquiries about how to become a potential sponsor of the program, just as our friends at MyBookie were today. Remember, visit the MyBookie.ag website and use the promo code LockedOnNBA, and from there you can score an instant 50% bonus with your first deposit. That goes all the way up to $1,000. So get in before Sunday's big game at mybookie.ag. They've been a good friend of the show, and I would really appreciate if you consider them for your future betting needs. Same goes for anything that can help us financially. And if you're unable to support our sponsors, best way you can support us, leave us a 5-star rating, subscribe to us. That's how we remain viable to advertisers, not just MyBookie, but again, Draft App, who were our sponsors yesterday, and all of our other sponsors over the past few months. 5-star reviews, subscriptions, that's how we can remain viable here at Locked In Rockets, the only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. Once again, the happy final from San Antonio this Thursday evening. Rockets 102, Spurs 91. Rockets now 37-13 on the season, just 2 games back of the Warriors for the 1 seed, and 7 games clear of the field in the loss column for the second-best record in the Western Conference and a top 2 seed, only 50 games into the year. What a ride it's been, and seeing a win like Thursday night, folks, I think that should have you pretty pumped for thinking that even better things are to come in the months ahead, especially as we roll into April, May, and hopefully June. So on that positive note, have a good evening, folks, and we'll be talking again this weekend when the Rockets take on LeBron James, maybe future Rocket LeBron James, but right now current Cleveland Cavalier LeBron James and his Cavs on Saturday night in the nationally televised ABC game. Until then, folks, have a good one, and we'll be talking again very soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.